What is going down, everybody? It's time for The Hype, MojoBreak.com, episode 178. We've got Guess That Price, so get ready on your guesses coming up later in the show. We're going to square off once again and see who wins Guess That Price, which is always fun because you just never know in the hobby what these prices are going to be. I mean, I'm on eBay every day, and it's crazy. I'm like, I can't believe that card sold for that amount. Crazy times we're living in. We're going to talk NBA Top Shot, topic of everybody's conversation. Shaq was talking about it.
It's hot.
It's
you
hot.
Lost that love
you know,
and
we've got. We're also going to talk, which would be love for you guys to participate. What are some of the things that you hate about our hobby? Because there's a lot of things that are bugging people these days. You know, a lot of topics to kind of dissect and discuss. Dan, GameStop to the moon.
Oh no, I don't have GameStop. AMC 40% up. What's up?
Nice.
I'm only down like hundreds of dollars now instead of thousands.
It's a win. It's like the casino win right there.
Yep. And it's I was looking at my phone, saw GameStop back up, and I was like, oh crap. And it happened kind of late, so like all the news media outlets haven't caught it yet, so like tomorrow morning should be pretty crazy.
I think Robinhood is shutting down for maintenance tomorrow.
That's a real thing. They're ready. Got
crazy.
Update. Big update.
Crazy. But you know, like, yeah. It's just gambling with that stock, you know what I mean? Super gambling.
I mean, it's crazy. Whoa. I know we don't talk about stocks, but I mean, it's 2020. Is 2020 and 2021 like the years that like stocks went mainstream? I mean, I feel like they obviously you hear your grandfathers talk about their portfolios, but I feel like it's so much more mainstream now than it ever has been. Yeah. So
I believe stocks have been a thing for a while, Doug.
What do you mean? I thought they just started.
I think majority of people who weren't into stocks started getting into it, kind of like with sports cars last year during the pandemic.
I think what it has to do with is people are working from home. Mm. They have more time on their hands.
Yep.
Why not pick up a new hobby and start throwing some money? And you have everything so accessible now with being able to trade. Retail trading is what they call it on like Robinhood and I think there's a bunch of other. Doug has like what Stash is another one. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm doing an ad for certain companies that I don't even really use.
For your to get two free stocks, guys, head on over to our link down below. Weeble, yeah. Guaranteed two stocks.
Sponsors, you guys.
Smash that subscribe button.
All right. Well. So speaking of stuff that's going to the moon, Top Shot seems to be the conversation, not only in the hobby, but amongst people that talk about NFTs, which is something that I learned this week, which is what this is considered, a form of currency. Not so much a collectible. It does have collectible aspects to it, but it's considered an NFT. And just crazy, crazy action going down. Highlight moments selling for more than you would think. If you're not familiar with the Top Shot, it is you buy a pack that has three moments of NBA players either doing a dunk, make an assist. They're serial numbered just like cards. They're considered moments, and people are paying big dollars for some of these moments, like the LaMelo, the Halliburtons, the LeBrons, the Lucas, things like that. I mean, it's almost now darn near impossible to get a pack. I think people are in line, like digital lines now of like 100,000 people waiting for 5,000 packs. Only 5,000 out of 100,000 people get it. It's literally nuts. Forbes is talking about it. ESPN's been talking about it. $200 million in total sales. So this isn't just some flash in the pan. This is a big deal. And this is $200 million in sales in like literally 2 months, I think. Maybe a little bit less. Maybe they had a little bit bigger beta period. ESPN say this is the future. NBA Top Shot and the dizzying world of digital collectibles. A LeBron James Laker highlight sells for a record $208,000. A video clip of LeBron selling for $208,000. So, Sierra, have you got a chance to dabble in? Have you got yourself a pack yet?
I haven't even opened an account. Like we've been talking about Top Shots now for like over a month, right? You guys got into it real kind of early, earlier ish. The thing for me is like I know when something is getting extremely hot. When like friends of mine that like have nothing to do with like, you know, like digital currency or sports cars, like when they start asking me about it, that's when I know when something's been hot. And like this week I have a few people like hit me up like, hey, Sierra, you heard about the Top Shots? I'm like, yeah, bro, I have. I have not dabbled into it myself yet though.
What is your thoughts on the whole thing, Dan?
So you were the first one to bring it to my attention, and that was probably maybe six weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And when you told me, I already talked about this on an earlier show. I love to hate on stuff. I love to be like, that's dumb. That'll never work. I couldn't say it about that. I get it. I mean, it's the moments attached to a blockchain. A blockchain is essentially a digital ledger that you can see a record of what, like when it passes through different people, it basically keeps track of what it sells for. And there's a lot of people who are digging it. I dig it. I think I have like 47 moments. I'm not really into the selling aspect as much as I am into the collecting aspect of it. But I feel that we are that the market is being falsified based on the fact that these moments are selling for so much. Is it a real market, or is it being artificially inflated?
Right.
I'm a little leery about the fact that people can't cash out any of their funds and actually put money into their bank account.
Yes.
It seems like they're starting to allow people to cash out now $1,000 max every 2 days. But there's people who have probably six figures, even in some instances, seven figures of money in their, I guess, Dapper account is the parent company, that they can't take those funds out.
That's kind of strange.
All they can do is buy more moments with it. But Dapper is basically they're holding the bag, you know?
Exactly.
Literally.
I love that one. That's the phrase of 2021. I mean, to give you guys full transparency, I bought about 10 packs, maybe. No, actually, I bought 15 because I had 45 moments, right? I was lucky enough to hit a LaMelo early, which was a limited edition. And only there's 4,000 LaMelo videos, and it was his first video of him doing an assist. I sold it for $3,500. Well, at least I think I sold it. Somebody bought it for $3,500. I have $3,500 in my Dapper account. So mind you, I spent like $100. It was $9 times 15, so I spent a little less than $200. I was able to sell a moment for $3,500. The rest of my moments are evaluated at $9,000. Like, we're making money out of thin air here. Like, there's literally money out of thin air. I only put it up there, and it took 2 days for it to sell. The lowest sell on that card was $3,100, so I put mine at $3,500, and then 2 days later, mine sold. And I was just like, okay, I'm ready to cash out. I'm ready to cash out, right? And it won't let me. It won't let me get my money. It says there's a 30-day like process for them to check your account, blah, blah, blah. This was weird. This was from the CEO earlier this. I think it was today, actually. Beware of cash grabs and NFT. Ask yourself the question, can I imagine the product I'm purchasing have a self-sustaining community around it for 10, 20, or 100 years? ? This is the founder of Dapper, who has other crypto sites as well. They have a lot of companies back them. I think he's worth $12 million. It's not a guy in his basement doing some stuff. But it's kind of weird that he would say that, and I can't cash out $3,500. I know there's people that have a lot more than me. I've seen accounts. If you go on the market evaluation, which I'll try to include in the notes on this show, you can look at people's market evaluation. There's several accounts that have like $32 million. In valuation of their account.
You can evaluate your own, and this is cool. This is something I actually stumbled across over the weekend. If you go evaluate.market, you can check out your evaluation of your account or anybody else's account on TopShot, which is kind of funky because I actually was able to look up Doug's account.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have Doug's login or anything, but I was able to look in his account, see every moment he has and what the value is of it and the total value of his account.
Let me ask you this question, because I have not made an account or anything like that. This is what I'm thinking. So do you deposit money into your account before you can buy the packs?
No, you buy it.
Or you buy the packs with your card.
So I have – when you actually get lucky enough to get a pack, or if you're buying just something on the marketplace – at least on my end, when I'm using, I'm usually on my phone. So I don't know if the phone is different than the desktop, but you'll buy it and it will go to like the parent company, like the
Dapper.
Point of sale is Dapper, and I have my credit card saved in there. So basically, it's just like checking out on any other e-commerce site.
Okay. Because I was thinking, like,
it does take about 5 to 10 minutes, it seems, for your moment to show up in your account.
This is the big question off of that. Then when a LeBron sells for $200,000, who's like, how does that person put $200,000 in his account so he can buy that LeBron card?
Well, let's say that you're pretty active, and maybe, like, every time you sell a moment, like right now Doug sold a LaMelo ball for X amount, let's say it was like $1,800 or something like that.
$35,
whatever. So you have $3,500 in your
account. I have like $3,800 in my
account. So it just goes into, so he, like, his Dapper account, think of it as like your PayPal balance. So I can go to, you can go to eBay if you had money in your PayPal and just check out, just takes it directly out of that. Think about this, Dapper is the same thing. It's like an account balance that you can buy other moments with, but you just can't necessarily check out. The other thing is, yeah, who would have $200,000 in their Dapper account?
This is what I'm, because I'm, it blows my mind, because it's like, this just started like 2 months ago, a month and a half ago,
you could,
right?
Also check out, I think you could also check out with crypto as well.
Okay, okay, that makes sense if you could check out with crypto, because I'm like, so, like when the, say the, for example, the very first packs come out, right? And people are like, oh, this is cool. And then other people who buy in the very first packs, they're like, I want that LeBron. I'll give you, you know, like $100, $200. That person has $200. Like, it seems
to be. It's going to take a while to get to that.
Yeah, it takes a while to get to that.
I don't pay anything with crypto, but I think if I'm not mistaken, there is, you can, it might be ETH. I think ETH might
Ethereum,
be there, the form of crypto that they take. I don't know if they take Bitcoin.
I think it might be Bitcoin. I think it gave me the option. Well, it didn't give me the option, but it said they can cash out in USD or Bitcoin. I believe so.
Man, we have gotten really weird on this podcast now. Like, we're talking about things that I never thought, one, I would ever learn about or know anything
and
about.
Come out your mouth hole.
I cannot believe I just said crypto and Bitcoin and ETH.
If you guys can't cash out with cash, USD, $1,000 every few days or whatever.
That's what they say.
Can you cash out with BTC instantly?
No. So, and what I've heard, there's only been 6,000 people who've been able to check out, basically remove $1,000 from their account. And last time when I was in the digital line to get a pack, just for that one release, there was 84,000 people who were in line. So the amount of users that they have is insane.
Astronomical.
Out of the
gate. Yep. I know. See, my friend
This is actually a screenshot from mine. It says many users can't withdraw funds yet. You can see here on the right side, and you probably won't be able to read it on your screen, but I'll read it for you. It says, we thank you for your patience while we enable withdrawals for your account. You will receive access after passing review on our end. No further action is necessary from you. The process may take up to 30 days due to heavy demand. We appreciate your patience. These protections are in place to ensure a safe and compliant trading experience for everyone. We are processing reviews as quickly as possible on our end, and we'll continue to get faster. And then I have to say, okay, got it. And then at the bottom it says, number of people with access to withdrawals, 6,000, 1,500 added recently. So here's my theory, and this is just my opinion. I know, once again, I know this company is backed by a lot of large companies. I don't think they're a fly-by-night, but the action that they had that in 2 months makes me think that there's a few people involved that are manipulating the market. This is, once again, my opinion. I don't know. But the amount of how easy it is to sell a card or a moment, I don't want to call it a card. It's so easy to sell a moment, like instantly. I put a Halliburton up there for like $250 a month ago. It sold instantly, literally. So it's like, I almost feel like the company's like, hey, if we want people to use the app, we're going to make sure that these marketplace sales are going to happen, right? So, because if the marketplace sales don't happen, then we have no backbone to rely on, and people are going to stop buying packs and trading packs and doing all this stuff, and it's going to fade away. COMC started. Do you think that they were selling cards right away? No, because they didn't inflate. They didn't have people inflated in there. So I'm thinking there's a bunch of money that's going through this from a couple big buyers that they're not letting people cash out because they're protecting those guys and letting those guys get out of these moments before it's too late, right? That's my opinion. Once again, you know, I don't know if this is fact, but it's just things are happening so fast. They're not letting people cash out. They're still in beta. They're still running tests and all this stuff. But people cannot get their money out of this thing. And they're not telling you. They said 30 days. It could be 30 days to get your money out.
So players are starting to get involved as well. And they were pretty active talking about it on social media this weekend. And there was one I stumbled across was Terry Rozier. Celtics, I think.
Mm-hmm. He's a Hornet now.
Celtic Hornet. He was offering a you pay if you bought a $1,000 moment from the marketplace, he would of his, he would send you a signed basketball.
Isn't that kind of manipulation?
The other, if he was like, if you spend $100,000 on my moment or whatever, he's like, I'll do a two courtside tickets when we can allow people back, and I'll do a meet and greet with you. You can basically hang out with me after the game. So is there a thing where the Top Shot or NBA are talking to the players going, hey, you are getting royalties on every single time somebody buys your moment?
Yes.
So now there's a little
that's marketing 101.
There's a little spiff on these players.
Yeah, because Halliburton's talking about it.
Yeah, so you get a little spiff.
Was streaming about it. Yep,
yeah,
this weekend.
So you get a little spiff on these players who basically are like, I can make a percentage. So what can I do to try to get people to go buy my moments and add value to it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know the NBA had to find other streams of revenue because of the pandemic. This is like perfect storm for them almost.
Well, and here I mean people, transparency, right? So who's getting the packs? How do they decide who gets the packs? How do they decide when the Luka 1 of 49 pops out? How is there any kind of algorithm they can show us as the public to say, like, okay, this is our algorithm. After it's all done, this is our algorithm. These are who got these cards. NBA players are breaking these packs. So yeah, obviously they're making exceptions for these guys.
And wouldn't
they're not making them wait in line, right?
Wouldn't Josh Hart, if he goes live on his Twitch, wouldn't it be beneficial for Top Shot to make sure that he pulls either one himself or LeBron James or somebody of that caliber, Steph Curry, Harden, Durant,
yep,
Zion, and low numbered, like something that like is really going to have a wow factor to it.
Yep. And Kramer has a question in the chat. Do you own the rights to these moments? Well, they're all individually serial numbered just like cards. So I would have owned, well, I sold it, but I would have owned 3,540 of 4,000 of the LaMelo moment. As far as like showing it on your feed or anything like that, I'm not exactly sure, but you have that specific serial number in that moment.
If I'm not mistaken, like you should be able to click on that moment and there should be a ledger attached to it.
Yes.
It should have your, it doesn't have your name, but it will
it's
have
like a number
it,
of
codes.
Have,
yeah.
It'll have your username probably.
Yes.
It'll have your username and it'll say that username sold it for this much on this day.
Right. And it did. I actually followed the sale. It said, it had some code on who got it. But yeah, I mean, it's you know, and then the fact that I spent and there's a lot of users like this that I spent $140 and I made $9,000. Well, $9,000. I'm gonna put in quotations because I don't know if it's real money until I get it in my account. but supposedly I spent $140. I mean, come on,
seems too easy to make money. Huh?
Too easy. It seems too good to be true. And my fear, even if they streamline this and they find out a way to get people more packs, it's never gonna be as good as it is now. There's no way you can. For one, you can't get a pack now. So that's the hard part. Is I've lost interest because it's impossible to get a pack. And I have really no interest of buying moments. I just don't. Like I
bought one yesterday.
I don't know. It's not for me. I'd rather buy a card.
Dan loves it.
I love the thrill of opening up the packs on there. So since I can't do that, I've lost 100% interest for me.
If it is legit though, and I'm gonna have to disagree with you on like the having to open up packs, because you can make money looking at the marketplace and finding value based on.
Oh no, I agree
number.
With like, you there. Like no, you, I didn't you could, say that you couldn't make
you,
money.
You can definitely make money. Dude. I mean, I.
It's just not as it's the hunt for me that's fun. I should say, I just like what we do on a daily basis. The hunt for me. I mean, if I'm buying. I buy singles on eBay. Yeah, that's fun. But I know what I'm buying. Like, if I buy a $9 pack and I got the possibility of hitting a $3,500 LaMelo ball, that's what excites me. You know, the fact that I'm going to buy a Giannis and wait for it to go up and then sell it is not as fun for me as, say, hunting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, and also, like, the thing is you're going to see these players have more highlights, right? So which ones are going to stand out more than others, right? We were talking about this, like, the LaMelo that you had was an assist. And I think an assist is probably going to be pretty low on the
– But it's the first one.
It's the first one, but you're probably – I think the dunks are probably going to be the number one highlight you want. I think it's going to be it's going to go dunks and then maybe three-pointers, maybe a block, but steals. And it all breaks down to the serial number, obviously. If it's, like, super limited, number to 99, it doesn't really care what the moment is because it's always – it's so limited it's going to hold that value. Like, I have a Mitchell Robinson for the Knicks, and it's number to 99. It's like a $6,000 moment. Now,
did you buy that out of a $1,000 pack?
I bought that out of a $1,000 pack. But that $1,000 pack had one number to 99, two number to 499s, and then 10 commons. So that $1,000 pack, I probably net $10,000 in profit.
Jeez, that's crazy.
And when I bought that, it was the day before the Super Bowl. And I remember I was going to your house to watch the Super Bowl, and I was sitting there like, I'm like, I can't believe I am going to buy a $1,000 pack of digital moments.
I didn't know this, bro. So, that's pretty amazing.
And it sold out. It sold out right away. I was fortunate to get it. But I actually was laughing because I'm like, who is dumb enough to buy a $1,000 pack? Me. I'm dumb enough. I'm in. So I bought it.
But it seems smart now. I mean, as long as you get real money.
And then I got my main one was a Mitchell Robinson. And I'm like, oh, dude, that like couldn't have been any worse. I'm like, look, I saw the checklist. The checklists for the 99 moments were terrible. I mean, Steph Curry was probably the best one. That Steph Curry at one point, number to 99, was selling for like $35,000, $60,000. So. Who knows? Like, dude, the amount of money that some of those moments go for.
But where's this money coming from?
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, where's this money coming from? I mean, I know there's a lot of eyeballs on it, and a lot of people are talking about it, so it's definitely a real scenario. But yeah, you're right. Like, who's got that? Well, I'm gonna throw $100,000 on an asset moment.
My thing is that how can something that, especially with the commons, with the $9 packs, how could like a moment that technically is costing $3 because you're getting three of them for $9. How could that moment in Doug's case sell for be worth $3,800?
Yeah.
How could something that literally I paid $3 for within 2 weeks be worth $3,800?
Yeah, you want to talk about sustainability. There's no way that you could just make instant,
But I'm
5,000 times your money. You know what I mean? You just can't. It cannot sustain. It doesn't make any sense.
Somebody has to get...
Hello. Somebody has to be left
holding the bag. You know?
Yeah. That's right.
Holding the ball bag. Yep, for sure. That's what's going to happen. You got nothing but your ball bag left.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know where it goes. I think it levels out a little bit. I think it's very cool. Again, I'm more into collecting the moments than I am selling the moments. So I like the idea. I've been trying to collect a bunch of Warriors players.
Yeah.
I think that's cool. I can't afford a Wiseman. I can't afford a Curry.
Mm. I have a Curry.
Curry? Yeah. Minimum Curry is $600.
Yeah. Wow. $600.
You got a Curry from one of your $9 packs?
Yeah, I have a LeBron, nice. Too. And a Giannis.
I got a LeBron. I got two Giannises. I got a Harden, a Durant, Dame Lillard.
I don't want it to be like not real. I want this to work out. It's just almost too good to be true.
Issue.
Too good to be true. People aren't getting packs. Cards are selling for $100,000.
My friends who have no idea what they're doing are asking me about it.
Well, we talk about it all the time. Like, and we talk about it in this industry. If it's too good to be true, it's probably not true.
And it's like the, yeah.
It, like if you're getting a really, really good deal, like you're getting a steal on a card, you're probably getting scammed.
It could happen, but
I'm not saying Top Shot's a scam. I'm saying like I think it's inflated to the point where like everybody is on cloud nine right now. They're like, I am doing something I love. I'm gonna be able to retire. I'm making more money than I've ever made in my life. But you actually haven't got any money yet.
Right. I want, and that's
like
the thing.
You've made it's like having a like a thousand, like a million-dollar check in your pocket, but you just have nowhere to cash it.
Right. There's no banks open.
There's like no banks that will like cash this one check. Like you got to find a very specific bank to cash it. And it doesn't exist.
If somebody has actually received cash, I want to know. Comment on the video. If you're live now, let us know that you've, hey, I've got cash out of it. I've cashed out. The $1,000 cap doesn't make sense either. Because if you sold that $200,000 LeBron, you're like, cool, I want to buy a house in Florida now. Every 2 days you take out $1,000? So it's going to take you almost all year to get your money out. You know what I mean? Like at that point, who knows? I mean, it's just very strange to me. Yeah, I mean, if you buy stocks, you cash out. You're allowed to cash out pretty fast, right?
Even
I mean,
gambling sites, they cash you out faster and with bigger amounts.
Right. So, I mean, is that going to, like, I don't know. So we'll see. But anyways, we're going to move on to talking about grading, which you talked about this company yesterday. Or last show, not yesterday. I'm sure we talked about it yesterday here. But last week's show, we talked about the new grading company on the block.
HGA.
Human Growth Association grading. I think that's what that means. I don't know. What does HGA mean anyway?
Okay, so it's hybrid grading. Got to be hybrid grading.
Okay.
Human
right?
growth. Growing human beings in here?
I'm thinking of HGH, right? Human growth hormone.
I'm 100% sure that you are wrong.
Oh, it's right here. Hybrid grading approach.
Okay.
Yeah,
I knew
so
it was.
It. Okay.
Dude.
All right, we clarified that.
It's pretty obvious.
I just, off the top of the dome, yeah, Human Growth Association. graded this Jason Dominguez and labeled it as a Prism draft picks auto hyper when it's clearly a Bowman. So another error that they did. New companies do make errors, but this is the second one in consecutive weeks, and they're fairly new. So they came out and said the error has been addressed with the customer. Since then, we've hired additional quality control at the shipping stages to help prevent any further mistakes. Unfortunately, we aren't going to be perfect, but we're definitely aiming for it. So, I could see. I don't know how they got the prism in there.
I think it, and I don't know the inner workings of their company, but it looks like it's a data entry issue. Looks like it's somebody who's instead they basically entered in the wrong line into the database.
Right.
Are they hiring people who have no background
no
in cards,
or is that the computer? The computer's recognizing it as a prism.
It's not the human part of H.
Yeah, it's the hybrid hybrid grading approach.
But more I see these slabs, though, I actually really like them.
No, I was going to say that. I got to give them credit. They do look fantastic. And shout out to Breaker Culture. He did a little bit of research, and apparently, so the PSA 10 is the standard. So he was basing that as the top of the mountain. The second highest selling card on certain cards is HGA right now over BGS 9.5s.
Ooh, Becky, you better get it up.
Small sample size, but people are liking this. Maybe the turnaround's quicker. This is an orange card, you got the orange label. I mean, it does look pretty cool.
Becky, you better step it up, bro.
I need to hold one. I need to physically hold one to have an opinion. But based on the photos, and you know how I feel about the BGS slabs, and they look similar. They definitely look closer to a BGS slab than it does a PSA slab.
I like that out here.
I like the HGA slab, the look of it, more than I like the PSA slab. But it's no BGS. I mean, it'll never be BGS.
If you like devaluing your cards, yes, you can go that route. But
hey, man, I like having cards that are worth 50% market value because they look good.
Just staring. You don't sell them anyway, so I guess
I don't sell them. So,
I like all the BGS slabs except the white label ones. The white label
I know,
ones
it ruins
are so
it.
Bad,
just,
bro.
No, well, the white label one. No, the white label ones are just a reminder that you're bad at grading. Like you got a crap card. It wasn't like I agree. The white label, it's what it stands for. It's not the actual look of it. It's just like. Such a disappointment.
This is paperweight.
You look
is paperweight.
You look
is
at
I'm
it.
Saying.
You look at it and go, but it's just worth so much more outside of this case,
right? Yeah, just throw it against the wall. I mean, one thing I do got to say, I do like that they are limiting the amount of submissions they're accepting. They're like opening up times, certain specific times you can submit, rather than just a free for all. And like PSA, like free for all, we don't know how many we're gonna get, and we don't know how long your card's gonna take, but we're gonna take every order at every time. It's like just being open 24 hours a day, right? So they have actually narrowed it down. I think to what were you saying? 2,000 a month or something? They have a number.
I think it's 2,000 a month.
They have a specific number that they will close orders to make sure that the orders they take are going to be fulfilled in the promised time.
We do, and which is
a good thing.
Since we're talking about this, and we haven't talked about it yet today, there's the old conversation of the bubble, right? When's the bubble going to burst?
Love it.
We are running right now. I remember in the early 90s, when grading really first started happening,
it was like 75 of them.
There was like overnight, there was like 100 grading companies. Are we there? Is this the beginning of it?
CSG.
Are we
SGC?
Are we going to have 30 to 40 grading companies in the next year? And is this the bubble? Is this when it pops? It's running parallel with what we were talking about in like 95, 96.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Hope not. But history is repeating itself. It looks like.
Yeah, especially from the grading aspect. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely more companies coming in and trying to capitalize on slow service from PSA and BGS backlogs. Like I said, the
higher prices.
The HGA is nice. It's a nice looking slab. I mean, hopefully they don't go away in a couple years, and then the people that use them to grade basically have to crack out and reslab.
What I and they probably won't do this because they're probably going to want to protect their IP. I would love for them, and here's the phrase again, pull back the curtain. Let us see how the process is with your grading. What makes it a hybrid grading?
They probably don't want their competitors to copy their
I get it, but you're the first one out of the gate. You're the first one who's basically showing AI in the grading platform.
Yeah. Allen Iverson?
Yeah. Let's see what your process is like. Let's see how you do it.
They might have videos out there. I don't know.
I don't think so.
You know what? Circling back to, because we haven't really talked about this other company. I remember one episode, maybe like 7 or 8 shows ago, we talked about CSG. And then we were talking about how we didn't really like that slab. You know, it wasn't really vibing with us. I didn't realize at the time when we did that show, that's the company
comics.
That does comic book grading.
Yeah.
So they kind of know what they're doing in terms of like having the people staff to grade, probably most likely, right? And just being
well, there has to be similarities to grading a comic to grading a card, right?
Yeah, and so they're the in terms of like trusting a company to grade a card, I would
good ban.
What is it? Trusting a company?
Trust company? Yeah. Downfall?
Oh, are they
banned? Yeah, they are.
Yeah, in terms of trusting a company, I would. I don't like their slabs, but if I were... I have a friend who sent a few cards to that comic book company to grade. He's like, and then I'm going to convert them to PSA 10. I'm like, oh, okay, let me see. I'm kind of curious.
Their slab's
to see.
Bigger, though. It's weird. It's got like an extra... I don't know. Looks like it's...
Yeah, we didn't like big. It. We didn't like the design when we saw it. But I didn't realize at the time it was the comic book company when we were doing the show.
Yeah, which they have some backing to them, right? I don't know the backing of HGA.
I would trust that company for grading more so than any of these other pop-up companies that may start appearing. You know
well,
what
I mean? HGA is the company that is definitely the newest on the block. We'll see. We'll see how everything works out. Again, I would love a... And I saw you on YouTube trying to search for a video, like a little tutorial.
I did.
Behind the scenes
video.
They've
gotten a lot of people doing their mail days, but I don't see HGA grading.
You really want to... Because this industry is built on transparency, and there is a strong lack of transparency when it comes to the grading aspect of it. So this is definitely a part where you can carve your area out in the marketplace by really showing your customers and the end users of your product how you do what you do.
Right. Absolutely. Human growth autos. Eric says in the chat. Mojo grading services. Hey, we talked about it. We had a similar idea, but obviously we just don't have time.
We can't compete with 6.5. There's no point because you got the best to ever do it at the table right here. So
launching soon.
Best slabs, best labels, best eye, best cards. He only grades good cards.
Only good cards. Only cool cards.
Only cool cards.
Not necessarily best, but
like
cool
it doesn't even matter. The condition doesn't even matter. And that's what another thing that I don't think grading companies grade on, the scale of coolness. How cool is this card?
Cool factor.
Cool factor.
That cool factor. That
HGA
might. That needs to be a fifth category. Cool factory.
How cool is this design, bro? All right. That's all I care about.
Doing the opposite of cool. What do you hate about the hobby? Want to have just a little open discussion about like things that you know have been bugging you about our hobby? I mean, our hobby has been exploding this last 2 or 3 years here. And there's some people that like to complain, and there's some people that have some legitimate complaints. And I think this is a great moment to talk about it, to analyze and see how we can possibly improve some of these ideas. So go ahead and hit us up in the chat with some of the things that you do or do not like. And we'll definitely have a discussion. What's up, Edwin? What's up, Random? What's up, Rick?
What is that?
$10.
$10.
Oh, no. I mean, what's the little emoji thing?
It's number one fan.
Super chat.
Yep.
When you do a super chat and you send money, like you can put emojis and like it'll highlight your comment.
Well, all right. Well, we've already got retail flippers as one of the number one things to talk about. And I'll give this one to Dan.
I know you have
the outfit down with the you know, the socks and the sandals and the shorts is what the official outfit is for the retail flippers that sit at Target. How do we prevent that? And what do you think about retail?
Dude,
flippers?
I wear like a hoodie every day. I look like I'm about ready to get into a mosh pit. I'm not trying to get in line at Target or Walmart. And I don't wear sandals, but whatever. What do I think? Whew. There's a lot of them. I actually didn't think we were going to play this game. I thought this was for the people, but
it is for the people.
Let's see what we got here. What really, really bugs me?
I just wanted to hear your thoughts about retail flippers.
Retail flippers?
Yeah, because that was the first topic of hate in the hobby. Like, what do you hate about retail flippers, and how do we stop them? And how do you guys in the chat, how do we stop retail flippers?
Are we talking about the physical people who go into
or the
Walmart.
People that bot?
Yes. Well, are we
talking about the bot cook groups?
I think you can put them all in the same category.
Okay, the cook groups.
You can't stop that.
The cook groups.
You know what?
I actually don't. I don't mind. You do you. You want to you pay money to get a bot and it works for you. More power to you. Whatever.
There's no way to stop that at all.
The only thing I would like to see is don't go on social media. And boast about how
great about
your
1,000 boxes.
Yeah, don't be like flexing and being like, yeah, look what I did, look what I did. I saw some over the week, and there was one that like really pissed me off. And I'm gonna try to say it in a way that we're not gonna get blocked. but it had a picture of a bunch of retail stuff, some hoops and some Pokemon, and it said, F the kids.
Yeah, I saw that.
Ooh.
Yeah, and it was a trunk full. It was like a Nissan.
It
was like a Nissan Maxima or something like that. And it said that. And that, I get what they're saying. I understand what they're trying to portray or whatnot, but not cool. I don't like it. Like, yeah. don't do that.
Not cool.
Do your thing. Make your bag or whatever the kids are saying.
Yeah.
And leave it at that.
Yeah.
Don't make fun of other people or like, dude, it's like kids at a playground. It's like taking the ball away and be like, you can't catch me. Like, you can't like, come on.
It's almost like if you like broke into cars and you're like, look at all these car stereos I stole last night. You put it on social media. You're like, I got all these car stereos. I know they paid for
it. I remember when the PS5 came out, bro. There was this guy that got so much hate because he posted like his picture with like 50 PS5s or whatever. And then he was like, F you, pay me, is what his comment was.
Humble. Humble brag. So I guess what you'd call that.
I actually have a perfect way to stop this, but this will never happen. This will absolutely never happen if Target actually just cut the cellophane off when you purchased it.
Oh yeah, that won't happen.
They would stop it though.
Oh, you mean you have
open it for
you. You have the
no. Just take the cell phone
no,
off.
No,
bro.
You have. Well, it's funny you brought that up because that is something that Upper Deck did years ago at
they,
the
Nationals. I learned well from
and
Upper
they
Deck.
And they did it at the Nationals. So, like, in order to get whatever promo they were doing, you would buy your box from DA or another Upper Deck online retailer or retailer that was at the show. You'd bring it up. And before, and Topps did it as well, if I'm not mistaken. They would go up, you'd show them the box, and they would take a box cutter and just cut the cellophane off.
Yeah.
And then they would give you your promo packs. So you had a choice. You can either hold on to your box and not get the promos, or you can get the promos, but you had to open up the box. So you think that every checkout checker at Walmart and Target should have a box cutter, Mojo Break box cutter. I can probably get them some. And they can just swipe the cellophane off every time they go to scan it, swipe it. Put it
I'm asking for a lot, but that would stop
it. What if a customer wanted to return, legitimately return something, though? Target would accept the open box.
Mm. See? I think they do anyway, though.
I think they do. No, they're kind of strict.
Man, I am confident.
I've taken back like
No, you're right. You're
like
right.
A stereo thing. I've never tried it with cards, but
they take your IDs. So like, if you do too many returns,
So you get. So you can basically probably come back with.
Yeah, I think you can only do twice a year.
Yeah. Mm. So yeah, they
for open products.
For open products.
Mm. For my whole thing is like
Brian's got the best idea,
bro.
Target needs to place a claw machine game in their stores full of blasters for those guys to just stay there for one.
Oh man, that's awesome. That's a good way to sell it. But for me, like, obviously, you know, it sucks for people that want to buy retail, want to be able to walk into Walmart and Target. I'm with you guys, bro. Like, you know, like the fact like you can't find anything.
But at the same time, if that stuff wasn't going up five times, nobody would want it.
The same time, bro, where were you guys buying that retail when nobody wanted it and it sat on the shelves forever?
No FOMO then. No FOMO. Nobody was.
That's the only thing I got to say.
Yeah.
Like. Yep. The retail, like Topps baseball, Panini football, Panini basketball, like you could find that stuff like all day before. But I get it.
Sometimes you would just walk. You'd have your cart and just walk around, and like it would just magically jump into your cart. How did this get in here? I didn't put it in there.
It's funny because the Targets around here in the Bay Area, they like never have any sports cards. So it's I've been trained. I walk down there. I look. I don't see anything. The other day, I saw some. 2020 complete sets, and I was like, I just pulled up my phone. I was like, see how much they were worth, just because I was like, they're sports cards. I gotta see if this is actually worth more than it is.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. But it was the only thing sports card related there. In mine, it's only Magic the Gathering. There's Magic the Gathering all up in it. Obviously the Pokemon's gone now too. But it's everybody. And my point of that is that everybody's trained now of seeing it empty, that when they see it. Somewhat full, it's like grab whatever you can get. Mm-hmm. But what C-Rad's point was is for years it was full. It was just full, and it was like, well, nobody wants it.
So I don't know how many times
nobody wants it. I don't want it either.
I don't know how many times I would go and I would walk by and I'd be like, what do they got? And I'm all, oh man, look at all that Gypsy Queen and Alan and Ginter.
Yeah,
like I mean Alan and Ginter as far as the eye can see.
Just nobody wanted that. No, we wanted that. Now it's funny. I'll see like people going like, "Is this worth anything?" And it's like Alan and Ginter blasters. Like people on like Facebook groups and stuff. I mean, and maybe another unpopular opinion it would be: what if they raise their prices to the price that somebody would be flipping
so you would prefer,
Topps is doing that.
So, but you Topps would prefer you'd prefer like Walmart and Target to make the money over the consumer.
That's an unpopular opinion.
I mean, that is a tough. That's an odd fight.
Dude, don't you guys think with the Topps raising hobby prices, they're gonna raise retail prices?
Well, Panini's
okay.
We got our Prism, like,
Prism and National Treasures doubled cost.
Doubled.
Doubled.
Interesting.
Doubled. Not didn't double anything else.
From the wholesale.
Didn't double the cards. Didn't double the packs. Didn't double anything except for the
price.
NT football too.
Oh, double.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So they're catching up. They're catching up with that. What else do we have here for what do we hate?
Makes sense.
Cook groups are the worst.
But I mean, I know it would probably solve the problem, but would that make everybody feel better?
What?
Like if you can buy it, but you would basically be paying close to what market value is.
Yeah.
You'd physically get the product, but you would not be able to flip it. Would that now that would either be
I can answer that.
That would be either Walmart or Target making the extra money, or
the
Tops or Panini or Upper Deck making the extra money. Would that make you feel better?
I can answer that. From the example of the from shoe collectors, people are more happy that they can actually get their shoes now because what Nike did and Jordan.
Yeah, you don't
Jordan
want
did,
people walking around barefoot.
They saw this, you know, a decade ago. So they're already on the game. They raised their prices slowly the last decade.
Yeah, like
to where it's to the point where it's like a regular shoe, like you won't be able to, you'll be able to flip it for like $20-$30, but not the same $100 you were a decade ago. So people are more happy. Like they're like, okay, I can get these shoes that I actually did want. And I paid more for them than I did a decade ago.
So generally the consumer is okay with the manufacturer making the extra money.
They don't like they don't like the middleman making the money.
Tops, Panini, and Upper Deck. Let's jack up the prices.
Yeah, but see the difference between I hear you there, but the difference between shoes, it's not like one shoe is going to have a Jordan Auto in there. You know what I mean? And so they're all the same, right?
I think for retail, you can draw the same.
Yeah, it's true.
For retail, but not hobby.
So, but you would have to. Prism Blasters would have to. I mean, there's enough market research at this point where the manufacturers know what these blasters are going to sell for, roughly. So when Prism comes out, instead of doing a $20 blaster, they can do a $120 blaster.
Right. They could.
They could. And I can guarantee you if that $120 blaster is only going to, if you get it, you can only flip it for $140, there's going to be a lot on the shelf.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. And I don't think they have to go that drastic because what Jordan did is they did it a little bit over time. They didn't go full on, you know, 3X, 4X out the gate. They just went like not even 2X. They just kind of went like maybe a third more every couple years.
When we were kids, it was like 120,
years.
Right? Yeah. It was 120.
Now they're like 220.
Right.
So they did it over time.
This is going to kind of go into what I hate, kind of on topic. There was the Optic, 2020 Optic football complete set that came out today. Dutch auction started at $2,000. There's 199 of them. Each card was numbered to 199, and then there was a guaranteed 1-1. I saw on Twitter that a cook group, bot group, whatever, they got 170 of them at the release of...
Yeah, at Full Pop.
At Full Pop. And I was on there. I was on there trying to get on. I couldn't get on.
How much was it?
$2,000. They bought 100. They were able to get 170 of them right out of the
gate.
Instantly.
Okay.
I didn't get any. Nobody else really got
nobody
any.
Else
I mean, that's only 30 left for other people,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, 20 something. So that is what's pissing me off about the hobby.
Yeah.
And that's what Panini has. And Panini, obviously, they undervalued that set.
They did.
They,
1-1.
Yeah, I actually thought they should have priced that set around $4,000.
$4.99, $9.95.
If it was $4,000 to $5,000.
Is it a 1-1 auto?
It's just a 1-1 parallel, oh, okay. I think. But if they would have priced it at $4,000 to $5,000, it wouldn't have sold out instantly because, like you were saying, there wouldn't be enough another terrible phrase, meat on the bone to justify doing it.
Well, and then we've also had some people mentioning hobby box prices being too high, and I fully agree on that. We're
1,000% agree.
We're dealing with that. It's like, hey, you guys want to reorder Eminence at $35,000? It's like, no. It was like, you know, whatever it was when it first came out. Now it's, you know, triple that. It's like, no, I don't have any value for the customer. Or Optic now is wholesale is like over $1,000. It's like, you know, at what point, you know. Somebody's holding the bag, you know.
Hoops is distributors. It's like $450.
Right.
I mean, honestly, like when we have to go and rebuy from distributors, we are actually in some instances paying more than the consumer. Unless they could just go to DA and go to Blowout, it's almost the same price.
Yep.
Yeah. It's tough. And because you have so many people that are trying to get the product, or like people are trying to break. That they're already having those built-in like margins that they're already trying to like only make like $20 breaking it and keeping a spot or whatever. There's just too much demand and not enough supply, and that's what's going on. But we don't want more supply either, though. So it's a fine line. You don't want to make more supply because then you don't have good hits and you don't have, you know, a Silver Burrow and every other, you know, whatever. So it's definitely a fine line. So impossible to buy a box anymore, you know. So... But the flip side of that is if boxes are affordable, that means people don't want the cards either. So it's a fine balance. Right now, yeah, the boxes are too high for probably the demand. But if the box price, if Hoops was $100, then nobody would want the cards. Interesting note of Hoops, too, by the way.
The LaMelo is $20 now?
Yes, but you know that you can actually buy a team set for $10? The team sets are coming out. So if you have a LaMelo, I'd sell it right now because they're releasing team sets for every single team.
And
I think they're like going to be like $12.99, $15.99. I mean, I don't know. Maybe secondary market will go up on those too.
I saw LaMelo Ross selling for $20.
Those team sets will sell out.
That was a $200 base card. Mm-hmm. I mean, we knew it. We knew what was going to happen. Yeah. You open up a box of Hoops and you're getting one from the LaMelo roughly, and that's not even blasters and all the retail SKUs and all that stuff. Like, that's just the hobby that we've opened. So this was never a product that is intended to be short printed,
right,
by any means. Donruss basketball.
I know, that's another, we had that discussion this morning. Like, what do we sell Donruss at? You can't get it on Blowout, sold out. $1,200 on Steel City, I think they might be sold out. You can't find a box of Donruss for under $1,200. It releases next week. Crazy.
So, and we're not getting a lot of it, but what do we do with it?
One box break.
Customers, what do we do with it? If you're in our position, how do you sell Donruss?
People are like, sell it to us for $100.
Yeah, sell it to me at what you paid for it. Sounds like a good idea. I mean, we are a business. Like, we got to keep the lights on, got to keep food on the table, got to keep all the employees paid. But what do we do with it? We're not getting 20 cases. We've gotten 20 cases in the past.
Right.
We're not getting 20 cases. We're not getting 10 cases. We're getting below 10 cases. This is not a product that they only make 1,000 cases of. We're not talking Flawless. We're not talking National Treasures, Eminence. We're not talking those products. We're talking Donruss.
Player breaks. Donruss.
Single box player breaks. Then, I mean, I actually, you know, I got an idea. You're right. We'll do that. Sounds like a great idea. But if you're in the break, you have to come down here and sort your own cards.
Yeah, there you go. Pack breaks. Yeah. Instead of six box breaks, it's going to be six pack breaks.
One pack.
It might happen that way. All right. Well, let's get into the fun segment. We haven't done it in a few weeks. Guess that price. All right. So we're going to square off. You put your guess in the chat, or if you're watching the video, write it down. I don't know. Put it in the comments below. But guess that price. And I think we're doing more recent cards. So we're going to start with, it looks to be, a Jalen Hurts red rated rookie on card auto. What is that number two, by the way?
99.
Okay.
It's a 99.
99 on card.
Numbered, the listing guys had it numbered to 50.
Okay. 50.
Numbered to 50. Lower. It's an on card red parallel Jalen Hurts optic auto. It's just sold maybe about a week ago.
During the hype. Oh, I just gave you guys a hint. To 50, bro. All
right. Let's see what people are saying. Let me see if you've locked in your guess.
Hold on. Let me lock it in real quick. Let me lock this in, bro.
I locked it in. It was my card.
Oh, yeah. You got some insider trading information here.
Okay. I should say, lock it in, I believe this was sold after the Carson Wentz deal, if that means anything to you.
Okay, after the Carson Wentz deal. Okay, so we've got a $600 guess. We have a $1,500 guess. We have a $900 guess. We have a $1,300 guess. We have an $1,100 guess. Start with Dan. What you got in there?
Well, since it was my card and I knew exactly what it sold for, $2,200.
I'm going $1,600.
I'm going $880, Dan. $880.
Actual sale price. We have someone who guessed it exactly right. And that would be Doug, $1,600. Does that count for double? I don't.
That doesn't. No. Maybe it was Doug's card.
I want it. To Doug.
Doug actually bought that for the next Mojo collection. Not fair.
Jeez. Wow. Man, I gotta go buy a lottery ticket on the way home. All right, next one. We've got.
This is the Alec Baum number 250, called Father's Day Blue Parallel. It's his rookie card. There is no autograph. on this card.
Alec Baum, 2021 Topps Blue, number to 50.
All right.
Let's see what the chat. I've locked in mine. My guess.
We also have somebody in this one who got it right on the head right here.
And Edwin said 1600, so he got it with me. Edwin won. So anybody want to guess on the Alec Baum? It's just recently polled, 2021, Topps, number to 50. I guess I'll go first. $376.
Bro, you can't make this up, bro. 377.
What did you? Were you three what?
I did 376. He did 377.
Price is Right rules.
Well, $715. It's alecbaum.com, right?
Actual sale price. This was actually a lot of bids on this one.
$715.
Genuinely shocked by this price.
$715.
$861.50. Dan,
whoa.
That's the point.
Whoa.
Whoa.
And you know what? There's very few things I understand, but I understand the Alec Baum market. And
you got it locked in.
I got it locked in.
All right.
It's Alec, not Alex, right?
It's Alec.
Alec.
Like Baldwin.
No, not Trebek. Alex Trebek. Never mind.
All right. So what do we got next? We got Anthony Edwards. I'll let Cody take this one.
Anthony Edwards, 2021 certified rookie patch auto. It's a sticker auto.
And it looks terrible on the auto.
And yeah, and the auto is, yeah, it looks like a little bit off, so take that into account.
Was this after the dunk?
You know what? I didn't catch the date, but I believe it was maybe just a little bit before the dunk.
Before the dunk. Okay. And not numbered, correct?
This is a non-numbered auto, but it is a rookie patch auto of the number one pick in the 2020 NBA draft.
All right, let's see what people got in the chat. Let's see what we got. 600, 250, 1,000. SB confirming that the auto is off. Yes, it does look horrible, in my opinion. All right, so Dan won that round. You go first.
All right, and I got it completely right here.
$189.
$189.
Are you crazy?
The guy doesn't even start. Dude doesn't even start for his team.
Get out of here, dude.
Dude, I'm pretty sure I could beat him.
Get out of here, bro.
$189.
$189. Too high.
Come on, bro.
Too high, right? Too high?
Oh, my.
Too high?
Let's hear the other guesses.
I thought I was low. $980.06.
$777.
$189
it is.
Well, then you need to explain why people are paying double that in six boxes.
Let me do some
that
quick
card.
Math, but I think
Dan got it.
Let me check here.
Quick math. There's no quick math for $189. That's just way off.
Dude, no.
We got $500, $699, $750, $1,000.
Yours is $980.
Not a dime over $200.
Here we go. Actual price, $415, which means Dan is actually the winner of that round. $415, the final sale price. Dan's got 2 points.
He should have won based on that guess. Oh, man. Ah.
Alec Baum non-auto went for nearly $400 more than the Anthony Edwards one.
That is surprising.
Shocking.
I wonder if it's because it's the auto.
There's no point even playing this game. You guys
I should have went lower. I was going to say like something like 5-something.
I told him to get out of here and he wins. Jesus. All right. Let's redeem ourselves here.
All right. Dan can win with a point here. We're going some recent news. Fernando Tatis, of course, just signed that huge mega deal. 14 years, 300, what, 40 million, 14 million, something like that. Here is his first Bowman Auto 2016 PSA 10. This was sold after he signed his new mega deal with the
Sweet.
Padres.
I know where to go with this then.
Base auto, by the way. Yes. Base chrome Tatis.
Base chrome on card auto PSA 10. And
man.
It was on the White Sox, not the Padres.
Man, those 2016 Bowman chrome boxes, I might want to buy one and hold on because that's Tatis, Soto, and Vlad.
Damn.
It's crazy.
We don't have any of that?
No, we went through it at like we were losing money on it just to move it. So,
smart.
All right. So Dan won, so he gets to go again. And let's see what the guesses in the chat were actually.
No, yeah, I already got
7,000, 28,000, 5,000, 30,000, 18,000, 6,500. What do you got?
$4,100.
All right, I don't think Dan's taking this one down. $7,877.
Bro, what are you looking at my numbers? $7,887.
Are you cheating? We've been close like three times now.
You guys just ain't winning. That's fine.
Price is Right rules finally paid off for C-Rad.
Oh.
Actual price. But no one was close. Someone in the chat, I believe Random Indie was the closest. $18,500.
The price is right.
On a base. Oh, a refractor. But a refractor.
Still.
Wait. Oh, I thought it was a base.
It's a Bowman chrome.
It's
a chrome.
Fine. It's
a refractor. Still.
Am I going to get a chance to tie up Dan here or what?
That is almost Trout numbers,
by the way. I'll give you a $4,100.
All right. Let's see. We are right now. We have C-Rad and Doug can still tie. Dan can win with the final pick. This is a wild card.
Oh, shit.
How about a little garbage pail?
That was a yes word.
PSA 10 Atom Bomb.
Oh, man. This
Series 1 1985.
That's
got to
be the original, right?
This is an original. It's the Atom Bomb sticker card, probably the most iconic Garbage Pail Kid card. Just recently sold.
Oh god.
Here, let me just pull something out of my bum because I have no knowledge whatsoever about the old Atom Bomb. C-Rad has to go first on this one. What are the guesses in the chat? Out of the bum on this one on me. We had 5,000, we had 500.
All right. Ready?
Yeah. 7,600.
$4,578. $4,578.
But we'll see.
$78,000.
Bruh.
$51,000.
What the hell? What are you guys on, bro?
Actual.
We're playing
price.
Chess. You're playing
chess. I got to be close, dude. I got to be close.
A lot of bids for this guy. I've seen 100,000 in there. We do have a winner. Dan is the winner. Actual price, $30,200.
Oh, my God.
I'd like to thank everybody for coming out tonight.
All the people you stepped on to get in the victory.
I mean, there's very few things I know more than 1985 Garbage Pail Kids Atom Bomb Super Collector over here.
When you were three, you're buying them up.
I was swooping them up.
Oh, that's a sticker too, by the way, huh? That is crazy.
$78,000. How much, C-Red?
$4,000.
$4,000.
I obviously don't know anything about Garbage Pail.
I didn't know either. I just said it looked expensive, so I just wrote down a big number.
It
looked expensive.
Oh.
Well. You guys went out there. You guys gave it your all. And I appreciate the competition. But, yeah, maybe next time.
Yeah, we'll have to revenge maybe this loss time. Here, C-Rad. Man, we'll have to team up on him next time. Make sure he loses. Collude. But anyways, that was fun. We got to do those more often. We appreciate you guys participating. It always amazes me that some of these prices. I mean, that Tatis was – I mean, I think a couple years ago that Tatis was like $4,000. I thought it was too much. Now
that's where I was at.
$18,000.
I'm still living in that
You're
time.
You're still living in that time. I mean, that is insane. And he's not even on the White Sox anymore. He's on the Padres forever. He's lifetime Padre. But
until 2024.
Until 2024. He said he might play until he's 40.
No, 2024, they will probably end up trading him and getting out of that contract.
Maybe. We'll see. But it's fun. And like I said, you never know what's going to happen with these cards, with these auctions, and what people are willing to pay for these trading cards. But
that's why people collect them baseball cards.
That's right.
Right, Matthew?
Exactly. So we got next week, Hype 179, but check us out at mojobreak.com for your breaks where everything's scheduled. Everything is guaranteed. We're breaking everything. Next week, we got a pretty big release week with...
would you say we're breaking everything?
We're breaking everything. Plates and patches. We've got some Prism EPL soccer, I think, coming out next week. We got Donruss basketball coming out next week. Lots of stuff. Plates and patches is up for pre-order. Donruss will be coming out soon.
Revolution comes out.
Revolution doesn't come out next
Friday.
Week.
Donruss comes out on Wednesday?
Some type of Revolution comes out on Friday.
Well,
really?
We ain't breaking no Donruss. I'm just skipping straight to Revolution.
Just going to...
Panini One comes out Friday. Oh yeah, Revolution Basket. I don't think that's. I don't feel like that's coming out, bro. I mean,
the Revolution
maybe.
Rebel Without a Cause.
It's only $475 a box on Blowout.
Steal.
That's such a good deal.
Steal.
No, I mean, it actually is, right?
No.
What? No. See, Mr.
I'm the Revolution.
C Rat is
Revolution.
You are Mr. Revolution.
Yes.
But you're $475.
Nobody. I'm gonna say this right here on the podcast, so everybody know. Nobody in the entire world has ripped more Revolution than me.
That's true.
Period.
Revolution.
That's true.
Revolution God.
True.
I know. I gotta check our numbers and call somebody out because it's like we made Revolution. C-Rat made Revolution.
Period.
His product. Revolution. C-Rat. But anyways, yeah, check out the site for those breaks. Make sure you hit subscribe and comment on our videos on Mojo Break Media. There was a great Jason Dominguez video that Cody just did about the prices and the hype of Jason Dominguez. Peace out, guys.